This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our legal show is for you. It's a law talk show, the only show of its kind. You can call us and ask us a question on any legal subject, even though we're injury attorneys. In our day lives, this show is for you on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We're ready for you. We'll handle your questions, solve your problems. We do it every week. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. We call it an information-loaded website because it is. It has all of our shows there. We've done a lot of shows. We still do shows. They're uploaded to our website. We're starting to do podcasts. You can follow Bell and Pollock on Facebook. Now you can find out what we're doing. You can find out what the shows are going to be a week in advance on Facebook. But back to our website, we have our 9 books there. We've written 9 books for you. They're injury subject books. They're free. Just go to website, championsofthepeople.com. Download an e-copy free. If you want a hard copy, all you have to do is contact our law firm, and we'll be glad to give you a hard copy anytime for free. We'll send it to you if you want it. For free. All right, 303-713-8255. Don't forget about our Champions of the People Injury Show. You know, we do a variety of injury shows all over the state of Colorado. But we do one show. Most of them are 30 minutes long, but we do one show that's an hour long in detail on injury subjects in detail. It's called the Champions of the People Injury Show. It airs at different venues. Today in Denver, KOA from 10 to 11, every Saturday from 10 to 11 on KOA 850 AM, we're talking about concussions. Do you know how insurance companies treat concussions from a car accident? Do you know what their formulas are? You know how to approach it? You know how to win that issue on concussions? You know what the treatment protocol is? You know what happens when you go to the doctor? You know what the specialists are? And do you know what the insurance company attacks are going to be when you have a concussion? Concussions can be serious. So listen to our Champions of the People Injury Show today, 10 to 11 on KOA. Today we're talking about electronic and digital wills. Wow, has the playing ground and the playing field changed from the original wills, which still exist, by the way, to the electronic and digital wills with remote online notarization. So, Brad, let's first start with the traditional concept, the paper will, and then we're going to end that way at the end of this show by saying that's probably what you should do anyway. But let's start with there. I mean, you had a traditional will. You had usually an attorney drafted it, and it was signed, witnessed, and that was it.
Well, yeah, and even then, if you didn't have an attorney draft it, sometimes if you just wrote out your own will and what you want things to happen in your own handwriting, sign it, it's construed to be a will. But the traditional way of going in, talking to an attorney, or getting something in the mail, or from some of these websites where they send you the formalities for a will and how to put together a will. And you put together the will, you write it up, and, you know, Colorado had, in essence, kind of like form wills, and still does, and you need to be at least 18 years old, and you sign the will, or you identify where you want your assets to go and who gets your assets, and you sign the will, and you preserve it somewhere. Let people know you did one. You don't necessarily have to make copies to hand out to everybody. They're nobody's business but yours, what you did with your estate. But you need to make sure somebody knows a will exists, because if they don't know the will exists, they may not know to look for it. So you put the will together and you put it in your safe, or you put it in your safe deposit box or somewhere else, you know, protect it to make sure it doesn't get destroyed, and you've got a will. The more you want to avoid the formalities by the court reviewing it, the more you honor the formalities of making the will. And you've got it one side or the other. If you want to make sure that the will is admitted to probate and it's an informal probate, then you're going to go through a lot of formalities in preparing and executing the will. As in, I'm talking about handwritten wills or wills that are on paper, and everything is executed in paper in front of everybody in the normal way that it's been done in years. And the less you follow those formalities, the more you have the chance that your will not be informally probated, where informally is it just goes to the court and they follow it, rather than having a court review it and determine whether or not it's a valid will, and, you know, one way or the other. But the point of will, Gary, really is to not only make sure that your assets go to the person you want them to go to, but it's also, in my mind, is to make sure it goes there without spending all the money in the will to get it there. And that's what you want to do. You want to try to an attorney has failed in their job of putting together a proper will if, upon the death of the person, you need attorneys to decipher the will and to fight over the assets and to determine who gets what assets.
Right, and sometimes that's inevitable, because last week we talked about the Denver Broncos and the Bolin estate and the trust, and sometimes it's inevitable you're going to have a fight. However, you minimize the fight, and Brad just made up a very good point. I mean, if you want informal probate, well, what does that mean? It's cheaper. You don't have a lot of formal court hearings. You want informal probate. You don't want the personal representative to be appointed in by a bond, pay for a surety bond to guarantee the faithful execution of the duties. You want informal probate. Well, to get informal probate and make the estate easier, not easy, but easier, then, as Brad just said, you must meet all the requirements. And we're talking about an old-fashioned paper will now. We're going to get to the digital wills and electronic wills in a minute. But you make it as simple as possible and you follow the rules. Well, the old-fashioned rules were you had the will drawn up. You didn't sign it until you were in the front of, you know, physically present with witnesses. They would witness your signature. They witness you. You know, they sometimes have to testify about your capacity. But you have two witnesses, and then usually it's notarized. Well, that's called a self-proving will. So if you don't have the witnesses, under certain circumstances in Colorado, your will can be valid, but it's not going to be admitted to informal probate. It's going to be formally probated. It's more expensive. Here come the lawyers. You want to avoid the lawyers. So you want informal probate, as Brad just said, right? And so, I mean, and that, he made a very good point. Informal probate. So we're talking about the old-fashioned will. So, and then, Brad, just before we go to break, talk about the fact you get the old-fashioned will. You've got a paper will. We're going to get into whether you revoke it, you change it. It was easier in those days as compared to the digital wills.
Well, it is, and it was. And, you know, we can get on the other side after this break and talk about why wills are changed. But understand that if you make a will, the chances are in 2, 3, 4 years, you're going to modify that will in some form. If you make a will, you're going to decide, I don't want the person that I left things to get that anymore. Or maybe that person has moved on. Maybe they're no longer in your life. Maybe you've gone through a separation or a divorce and you'd left everything to your spouse. Maybe a person you left everything to is no longer a person you want to have everything. Or maybe another person has come into your life where you left everything to one person. Now you want to leave it to two. Or you want to leave it to three. Wills are changing items or changing documents, and sometimes you do destroy them. Electronically, it could be a lot of litigation before you can do that. In a paper will, you take the will and you rip it up. Guess what? you just accomplished the.
It's physical act of revocation. You revoked it, right?
So,
yeah.
Lots to think about.
We got a break coming up, but think about this. We got the new digital wills. We're going to cover that. Electronic wills. We're going to cover that. We're going to cover remote online notarization. But does an email? I mean, everybody uses email. Does an email constitute a will these days? Can you have a will by email? Well, hang on. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. Come on, 303-713-8255. Every week you can call us, even though we're injury attorneys. We're here to answer your questions on any legal subject. Doesn't matter. It can be landlord-tenant. It can be wills. We're talking about electronic wills today. It can be estates. It can be divorce. It can be custody, parenting time. We can handle the questions for you, and if it's outside of our area of expertise, we'll get you to the right person, the right attorney, and no, we don't charge for that. That's free. We do that to help the community. You, 303-713-8255, and in Steamboat Springs today on KBCR 96.9 FM, we're talking about the subject on our Champions of the People Injury Show called Whiplash. Everybody's heard of Whiplash. Well, you know, for a long time, and maybe still right now, insurance companies kind of equated whiplash with fraud. Whiplash. So no, they don't think anybody can be hurt. Your neck can't be injured. And if it is, it's going to go away and you'll recover because, as they say, most people recover from a neck injury. So if most people recover, why don't you? They will admit that the anatomical structure and buildup and makeup of every individual is unique. Doctors will admit that. Their insurance doctors will admit that. But still, they say you should recover. So listen to our Champions of the People Injury Show today, KBCR 96.9 FM, Steamboat Springs on Whiplash. Today we're talking about right here, electronic and digital wills. We were covering the traditional will, and it's probably still the best, but you have a paper will. You have it stored. If you need to revoke it, you can revoke it. If you need to amend it, you can execute a codicil to it. So, Brad, then came the electronic age. And let's give an example. We were talking about during the break about the email, and we asked people before we went to break, what happens if, let's give that example about the father emailing the son about us. Favorite old time Corvette or car?
Yeah, you get dad who, let's see, has a 1959 Corvette that's in cherry condition. It's a wonderful car and it's a great car. And he finds that his son, who is, it doesn't matter what age, 20s, 30s, it doesn't matter, came over and drove it. While dad was on vacation or was out of town, and dad writes him a little letter saying, "Dear son,"
an email, not a letter.
Writes him an email, not a letter, but an email saying, "Dear son, I'd appreciate it if you didn't drive my 1959 Vette. I really like it. It's in cherry condition. I've gone through a lot of work to make it just perfect for me, and it of course will be yours, and it'll be yours upon my death." And but in the interim, please don't drive my Vette.
Is that a will?
And he does a little love you, dad, and has, you know, to the extent there's a signature, love you, dad, and sends it over. Is that a will? Has he just be given that Vette to his son on death? And does that will overtake all the other wills? Or is there still another will that gives everything else? And if the Vette's mentioned in the other will, does this will now overcome the original person he gave the will to, or he gave the vet to, or if it's the same person, is it just nothing more than father commenting on that's what's in my will anyway, but not going through the details of saying I've already given it to you in my will. So what did he just do when he said that and made that comment?
That's a perfect example, because let's say, assuming that example, the father had an old-time fashioned paper will that didn't really specifically mention the Corvette, but just said all the rest, residue, and remainder of my property shall go to X, Y, and Z. And the Corvette's not specifically mentioned. Now we've got an email that says you can have the Corvette upon my death, but just don't drive it in between. And so now we've got the digital electronic will era. We've got a statute in Colorado that allows digital electronic wills. And so what did the father just do? And so all of this was discussed and debated, Brad, by the committees and the reviews before this was signed into law by the governor. And it was signed into law and made effective January 21st, 2021. January 21st, 2021. And before that happened, you know, we had the pandemic and all that, and there were some emergency orders issued with regard to how some probate could be done and how things should be notarized, like estate documents, real estate closings, that sort of thing. So the statute kind of replaced those emergency orders, but now we've got a statutory scheme that talks about, and it's very, very, very complicated how that would work out. So probably that example we just gave, rather, probably not a will, but certainly it opens up the door, because emails are now fair game, right? But there's a remote online notarization thing. So let's just talk about basically now you can have a person making a will. They can sign it electronically, and you can. The witnesses used to have to be in the same room. Now they don't have to be in the same room, but there are still certain stringent requirements.
Well, yeah, and there should be. You know, you're still taking an act that is going to change people's lives, or in one form or another affect their lives. You're still taking an act where you're transferring your property. And it can be some very significant property. It may not be much property, but let's say it's who gets the house that you're living in. Well, you know, if you were selling that house and doing a transfer of the house, you'd have to go to a closing, and you'd have papers probably, what do you think, Gary, an inch thick, that get signed as you're transferring a house. Now, yes,
right.
It comes down to there's only one deed, and that's all you really need, and all this other stuff is something else. But you're transferring a home. You're transferring a lot of equity. You could be transferring a lot of money. You're transferring sentimental items. You're transferring things that are important to the persons who are receiving them, and how they're going to receive them, and what they're going to receive. And you know, we came on this new era of electronic means of communication, electronic means of making things and storing things, and we added on to it, Gary. We added on COVID, and we added on the fact that people couldn't be in face to face with each other. So you have a will where you say you need two witnesses, and all of a sudden somebody's going, well, I don't want to be a witness, and it's got to be notarized. And the notary says, I don't want to come to your house. I don't care if we're wearing masks or not. I don't want to come to your house. Or maybe the person doing the will is of an age or of a health situation where they don't want to have people around them, or they shouldn't have people around them. And what's one of the reasons for a witness? Why did we used to say a witness has to be there in proximity to the person making the will to make sure or to witness the signature?
Right. Well, one of the reasons was to testify about their capacity and whether or not they looked like they understood the nature and consequences of what they were doing. And did they look mentally fit and mentally sharp? Because a lot of times when wills get attacked, the witnesses are very critical as to when they were observing this. So, and we, you know, we still, and Brad and I are not estate attorneys, we're not will attorneys, but we've researched all this, and I tell you, we still recommend you do it the old-fashioned way, with wills on paper, and it makes it easier to track, it makes it easier to prove. You have the witnesses there with you in the same room, you can do that. And then you have it notarized, and so that becomes in essence a self-proving will, eligible for informal probate, which is cheaper for you, And so the old-fashioned way is still a good way. But we now have the statute, January 21st, 2021, electronic wills and digital wills. And they can come in all kinds of format. You know, we got another break coming up, but think about this before we go to break. Think about this. Can you make a will on your phone? Can you make a will in the notes portion of your phone? Can you make a will, attach it to an email, and send it as an email? And if you make the will that way, was it signed? And who witnessed it? And how are you going to retrieve it? And what if you make an electronic will and you store it? You store it in five really secure places. But then later you go change one of them. But you didn't change the other four in the other four places that you stored it. All right, you're listening to the Champions of the People Injury Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, 303-713-8255. You can call us on any subject, even though we're injury attorneys. We're here for you. And just go to our website. All of our books are there. All of the information is there. All of the buttons are there. championsofthepeople.com for a reason. We'll be right back.
I'm not bragging, babe, so don't put me down. But I've got the fastest set of wheels in town. When something comes up to me, he don't even try.
All right, here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. The Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Right now, joining us live here on KHOW is Eric from Catlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good. What's cooking over there?
Well, you know, it's a little chilly outside, so I've got some chili warmed up inside. That's that scratch-made green chili. I've got the red chili ready to go. I've got everything ready to go. And we do that every day from 7 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. every single day of the week. We've got the full menu available to go. So that's the chili, the gravies, the malhais, the omelets, the quesadillas, the burgers, whatever you're having a desire to have, we have it available for you. And like I said, that is 7 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. every single day. We are also doing Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 a.m., the all-you-can-eat pancakes, so don't forget about that. But we've got everything ready to go. You know, we love people to come in and hang out with us. I don't think the deck's going to be an option today. It looks a little wet out there right now, but you can definitely come in and watch some college sports on our TVs. We've got the TVs up to go. But if you're not into that, you can do it a variety of ways to enjoy our food. You can go to our website. There's an application there that you can go online and order. You can go to our Facebook page. You can do the same thing there. Or you can just call us, 303-798-6600. Place that order right over the phone. You can even call us when you get here. We can bring the food out to you and take care of your payment that way. So all those things are ready to go, and we're excited to have a good busy weekend.
Eric.
Yes.
It sounds fantastic. As far as eating in, you've got plenty of space in there. There's no problem?
No problem with that. You know, we're still going with everything that is the protocol from what we have, what we call the Arapahoe County five-star program. There was some implementation of things to do there. So we have sanitizing stations. We have plenty of space. We're frequently wiping and sanitizing everything down, washing our hands, all of the above, everything there to feel safe with. Absolutely, yeah. We're happy to do that. And we're glad that things are seemingly getting better with people, but we're not taking any chances. And we've got all the proper chemicals and all the proper procedures in place to make sure people feel comfortable and safe hanging out with us here.
Well, Eric, when I got up this morning, I regretted I didn't have any of your pancake batter to make pancakes. And then I thought, well, I want to come down there and get a Southern because that, you know how I feel about that.
Absolutely. That's your favorite. Yeah. You know,
right.
And when you mentioned the pancake batter, we are doing those things in bulk. You know, you like the pancake batter. People come and get the red chili, the green chili, beans, the rice, the carne adobada, which is the slow roasted pork. That's all available in bulk. We've done quesadillas. We've done bulk quesadilla trays. We've done green chili chicken enchilada trays, red chili cheese enchilada trays. Tons of things like that going on, so we're just happy to have that in bulk as well, definitely, and definitely including the pancake batter.
But you've convinced me I'm coming down for a chili bowl. That's all there is to it.
We got the chili bowl, too. Yeah, don't forget about that one. That's the hash browns with your red or green chili on there and a little bit of cheese on top and a little scoop of sour cream right on top of that, too.
You got the big screen TVs working?
Big screens are working. We're ready to watch some college basketball and get all the sports on. It's exciting to watch, and we're just hoping everybody comes down and has a good time with us this weekend.
Well, another thing, we got March Madness coming up soon. We're not there yet. We're not to Selection Sunday, but we got it coming up. So you'll be able to accommodate everybody, serve them food, and they can watch the basketball at the same time, right?
Absolutely. Can't wait to get that started, too. Absolutely. Be a great time.
Okay, Eric, where are you located?
Guys, that's 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is in the Glendale Shopping Center, guys. And like I always say, call it over the phone, order it online, come hang out with us, eat with us here. No matter how you do it, you will love it every bite of the way.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you right now on any legal subject, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. This is a law talk show. We talk law here. It's not a political show. Everybody knows that. And so we've received comment over the years of how refreshing that is. We just talk law. We might talk about a controversial subject, but it's just going to be the law side of the controversial subject. Okay, today in Craig, Colorado, right? On KRAI AM 55, that's in Craig, Colorado. We're talking about on our Champions of the People Injury Show, your medical diagnosis and your injury claim. How do the two relate? Your medical diagnosis, you go to the doctor, you go to the emergency room. How does the insurance company use the emergency room records against you? How can you fight that and win that? How the insurance company uses your own doctor's notes against you? How you can fight that and win that? And win the war on your injury claim. That's Craig, Colorado, KRAI, AM 55, 8 o'clock this morning, your medical diagnosis and your injury claim. Right now, join us live on KHOW is Dave from Denver. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you, Mr. Bell?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much.
Sure. What can we do for you today?
Well, I just want to know your opinion on a local matter. So we all know Colorado is the first state to legalize marijuana in the United States, but there's a dispensary around town that's called Cookies, and I kind of think they sort of market it towards teenagers and kids. And so I want to know your opinion on what you think about that with their name and everything. And actually, I have a teenager. He's going to be 17 years old in a couple weeks. And he told me at his school they just banned all the – they have T-shirts for the Cookies, and the teachers caught on to it, and so they banned all their merchandise because they know – they think it's like drug paraphernalia. So, I mean, the kids are onto it. The schools are onto it. So, I mean, is it going to become an issue – like the Joe Camel ad when they had to get rid of those cartoons because they said, you know, that was a big legal deal. So I just thought it might come up in the future. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you asked some great questions, and I appreciate your call. So, I mean, there's rules and regs, rules and regulations with regard to advertising, especially to minors, right, and underage children. So, the rules are published. The first one is, a retail marijuana establishment cannot – engage in advertising that is deceptive, false, or misleading, number one. And so, I mean, that's a broad spectrum of coverage, and they just can't do it. So, and they do cover cookies, and that can be misleading. It can be deceptive. And so there's a rule and regulation on that. There's also a rule and regulation on, no internet advertising to an underage audience, and you cannot engage. They cannot engage in advertising via the internet unless the establishment has, ready for this, reliable evidence that no more than 30% of the audience for the internet website is expected to be under the age of 21. And they got to be able to prove that. And so, Brad, there's other rules and regulations we'll be glad to talk to you about, Dave, but that's pretty powerful evidence and rules right there.
Well, and it goes further, because they can't advertise on TV and radio and in print unless they can prove the audience is predominantly 21 years or older and older. So they can't go into social media, they can't go into TV, they can't go into radio. So there are some very strict restrictions on stopping advertising to minors. We know that a number of the dispensaries tried to get around some of that by cleaning up portions of the highway and putting up those big signs saying Clean Colorado, sponsored by, and they'd have their cannabis company or their particular company identified on the sign, which in that case, it's going to be seen by a lot of minors. You got a lot of people 16 to 21 driving. You got a lot of people out on the road 16 to 21. and under 16. So it's meant to not, and the advertising is not supposed to be sent out in a way that's going to get to minors and promote the use of the drug to minors or people while they're under the age of 21. So I think if you've got a company that's doing that, if you've got a store that's doing that, they're probably going to run up against some restrictions. And the cannabis laws, the right to have a dispensary, are very, very restrictive. The Colorado watches over those. You have to be licensed to do that. You have to be approved every single year. So it's not something that you can just do and have it forever and not be touched. You can lose that license. And so, you know, you're not supposed to be walking into a dispensary if you're under 21. Period. You're not supposed to even walk in. And they certainly don't want to see in the advertising their wares and their goods to people under the age of 21.
Well, you know, yeah, and then Dave, we'll ask you in a minute, but you asked us a question. There's all kinds of rules and regulations on the internet. You can't have pop-ups.
Yeah.
You can't have geofencing,
yeah.
Right? You can't have that stuff. But,
right.
But, like, there are certain things, like you can't have print material directed to underage people, but if somebody goes into the shop and they are over 21, they can sign up for a newsletter. Then the newsletter is directed solely to them, and they're over 21, and it's not directed to underage. But your comments, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I understand all that they have all the advertising regulated well, but to me, where the kids are getting the T-shirts and the stickers and stuff for the brand, it's not from the dispensary. It's from, like, a store in the mall that sells T-shirts and stuff, like Zoomies, where there's high school kids that work there. They're the staff, and the predominantly the people that shop there are high school kids. So I think they're getting around the advertising by putting their apparel into these stores where kids can shop anytime.
All right. You got a great question, incredible question. We got a break coming up. Can you hang with us still after the break?
Sure.
Okay, I mean, that's a great question. So we're going to get to that right after the break. So, you know, the rules and regs are directed to the retail marijuana establishments, basically, among some others. And then how do they get around that, or can they get around that? Great question, Dave. So, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Don't forget about our Champions of the People Injury Show today in Colorado Springs. Right? From 11 to 12 on KRDO, and that's on both 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're talking about your legal game plan. Anybody that calls a law firm at Bell & Pollock gets a legal game plan. We trademark protected the concept of legal game plan. We own it. We invented it. We created it. You need a legal game plan many times during your injury claim. Could be, and the legal game plan can change. You can make adjustments to it. So that's our Champions of the People Injury Show today in Colorado Springs, 11 to 12 on KRDO, Bell and Pollock. We're here for you. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, but this show is for you on any legal subject, 303-713-8255. We're going to go back to Dave from Denver. Dave, you still with us? Dave, you still there?
I'm here.
All right, great.
Yeah,
Super. So Dave has a great point, a great question. There's all kinds of rules and regs about marijuana retail establishments and how they can advertise and not advertise and what they can do in print, internet, media, websites, etc. They're all regulated. But Dave says, well, what about the retail shop down in a mall where you go and you can buy T-shirts or other apparel, basically, or other items that that market the same things and sort of get around the law? Brad, what's your take?
I think you're right on. When you start doing this kind of marketing, you're marketing to the youth and you're marketing to a group that's not that's not supposed to be getting the marketing, that's not supposed to be addressed in their marketing, and they're not supposed to be advertising to them. And like I said, you know, they've already stepped up and started trying to regulate some of the road signs as far as, okay, you get dispensaries and you get marijuana people or drug people cleaning up the roads and then putting up signs saying the roads are cleaned by us, and they have their big name on it. Colorado has Department of Public Health and Environment that helps regulate the advertising of marijuana. They also have the Colorado Department of Revenue, the Marijuana Enforcement Division, that regulates a lot as far as the licensing to the retail outlets that are able to use or that sell marijuana. So I think if you really wanted to do something about it, or if you wanted more action, you'd get a hold of the Colorado Department of Revenue and talk to their Marijuana Enforcement Division and tell them that you have a little that you're a little upset about it. And I think you'd probably be perfectly able to put together a great case saying that this advertising on this use of shirts, T-shirts that say the name, you're exactly right. Who's going to wear the T-shirts of a cannabis dispensary or of a particular marijuana grower other than the youth? That's where primarily the shirts are going to be worn. And they're being worn to look like you're cool and look like you're involved in that kind of activity. And it's totally inappropriate.
Well, I'll tell you from my standpoint that's a great question, because most of the rules and regs are directed to the dispensary. Most of the local exceptions, like Boulder Plast, an exception that allowed dispensaries to sell T-shirts, but not in children's sizes. But I don't know how you would determine an underage size. But then you switch over to the mall, Dave, and you got apparel, yeah. and so I don't think the question has been answered. What I do think, though, my opinion, is there's enough rules and regulations that are broad enough that it would be covered or could be covered. But the other thing is, where are the retail stores getting their merchandise? Are they just printing them up themselves? Are they in connection with a dispensary? If there's some connection to the dispensary, that's obviously that's a no-brainer. They can't do that.
Yeah.
But so, your take. Have you done an investigation into this?
I haven't looked into it enough, but to me, the name by itself, you know, cookies, that's an innocent thing that mostly children. I mean, everybody likes cookies, I guess. If you're diabetic, you can't have them or something, but. Why they have to take the name for that, you know? What, they're going to have a store next time, it's going to be called Ice Cream. And that's supposed to be, it means weed. But you know what I mean?
Well, I do know what you mean. And then that was...
And I'm not even against the whole marijuana market. I'm fine with it. But I just think, to me, they're just blatantly, you know, advertising it to teenagers. That's just my opinion.
Well, it was the same thing with flavored
e-cigarettes. But just everybody sees you drive by it, and they have billboards everywhere too, actually.
I know. Like, I mean, I was trying to say the same thing with flavored e-cigarettes. Snow cone and peppermint and the same thing.
Yeah,
but
the appeal to children,
candy cane.
Like nobody,
candy cane.
Not really some adults want.
Well, and if you notice, they're cracking down on the e-cigarettes now. There have been crackdowns as far as stopping to use those kind of names, and even the sell or marketing of e-cigarettes to youth and to minors. I think that you're right on the horizon, and you and I share the same thing. I'm not against the marijuana industry, and I'm not against the dispensaries, so long as they operate within the law. And the law specifically does, as Gary pointed out, has restrictions about marketing in a manner that's going to be directed towards those under the age of 21. And you are right that the name cookies can make you think that it's something other than marijuana and can get your attention to something other than marijuana. And then these T-shirts
and
stuff.
Maybe you get excited, there's a cookie store. I want to go get some cookies.
Right, but think about this, Dave. Every commercial every commercial mall I've ever seen, their real estate leases, the documents are, you know, multi, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 pages long. And I will promise you in those leases, there is a contract. I've seen enough of them. There's a contract clause that, There's a contract clause that basically says you can't, the retail establishment cannot do anything to violate the law. They will be in with, operate within the confines of the law, et cetera. So that was a great question, Dave. Great call. We appreciate your call.
Well, and one more thing, Dave, if you're listening, the marijuana regulation for Marijuana Enforcement Division, it's called MED, Marijuana Enforcement Division headquarter office is in Lakewood. The telephone number is 303-866-3330. That's 303-866-3330. And it wouldn't hurt you to call up and talk to somebody on the marijuana enforcement leadership team, maybe talk to the director or somebody else, one of the deputy chiefs, and discuss with them what exactly your feelings are and how you believe this is being missed, because, you know, the court of public opinion is a very important court.
Okay, let's wrap up our subject today on electronic wills. So you can't, you know, Brad and I would recommend you do the old-fashioned type will. However, you can do digital and electronic wills. Just know that you can do remote online notarization, but just know that if you're going to do this, and, you know, there's a difference between conscience presence and electronic presence with the witnesses. You don't have to be in the same room anymore, but you do have to meet the multitude of rules and regulations and restrictions and requirements. And if you don't, it could affect your will big time. And so you go to an expert.
Right. There are links out there that say, you know, make a will online and do your online will and do this. You may not be doing a valid document, an enforceable document, or an enforceable e-will. You may not be having something enforceable online. And as far as being notarized, it may not be enforceable there. You've got to be careful.
It may not be. So that's our warning for today. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can listen to all of our shows. You can listen to all of our 30-minute shows on injury subjects. You can listen to our one-hour Champions of the People injury show. Airs in Steamboat Springs, airs in Craig, airs in Colorado Springs, airs in Denver, among other shows that we do. We have our website, championsofthepeople.com. We have 9 books. There you can download an e-copy of any of the books for free. And we do this because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.